Welcome everyone to another very special episode of the Afar Podcast. Today we have Chris on the show. How you feeling, Chris?
Feeling good. Feeling Gucci.
I love it. I love it. Listen, I like to call you the money man, man. How you doing today?
I'm trying. Right now it's less money stuff right now, more coffee stuff, more website and all that fun stuff.
That's awesome, man. Well, first of all, before we get started, man, happy birthday. You know, you just celebrated your birthday. Sir. How you feeling?
Feeling good. Feeling good. Got weekend plans and enjoyed the day off. And yeah, man, big 2-8. Someone asked me if I was in a call the other day, if I was turning 25. I was like, I look like I like just graduated.
So funny. Yeah, you know what? I would assume we were about the same age, and you're actually a little bit younger than me. Actually, take a guess. How old do you think I am?
29.
Ooh, that makes me feel good, man. I'm 33.
You're 33?
Yeah, listen.
That's actually really surprising.
Yeah, I get that. I remember, I think when I first turned 31, I was out with a group of friends, and like some random person walked up to us at the bar, and we were like chatting with this person, and she was like, oh yeah, how old are you? Are you like 25? And she just kept going lower and lower and lower, and my best friend was looking at me like, man, this dude's gonna eat this up. And I did. I loved it. It made me feel very good, you know. But listen, back to the reason we're here today. Obviously it's the month of June, and we here at Fathers Uplift are pushing this rebrand of making June, the entire month of June, the month of fatherhood. And so, you know, you do some incredible work here at Fathers Uplift. So I guess my first question for you is, how did you end up here?
Oh man, okay. That's like a long story. So
let's hear it.
I created a startup that was doing that was utilizing new technology in the fintech space to help with fundraising. Mm. Specifically at the time we were trying to see if crowdfunding or the nonprofit space could best use this. And kind of the main feature we were promoting was roundup donations, enabling people to round up their daily purchases to the nearest dollar and donate that change, like select a cause that they donate that change to on a routine basis in the background of their lives. And so I went to an SIF showcase event the year that Fathers Uplift was a participant there, and heard about what they were doing, and one, loved what they were doing, and two, felt a little bit of commonality with them. So I approached Charles and Samantha afterwards and was like, hey, I'm Christopher and I'm doing this fundraising stuff. Would be interesting to see if you guys are interested in a pilot. And so we connected from there and chatted and discussed that and stuff. And we ended up kind of looking into it, but not, it just, we went a different way with the tech as a startup and didn't really apply it. But that kind of connected us in the first place. And then a year later, I was looking to do part-time on the startup and full-time, like get a full-time job somewhere because I had a kid on the way. And so saw a post for development director from Samantha on LinkedIn. And I was like, hey, I've been spending like the whole last 2 years of my life working on technology to help better fundraising and stuff. And so I think that would be a pretty good fit. And so I contacted Samantha and was like, hey, I'm looking to do a full-time job and I think I would do well at this. I would love to interview for the job. And so I applied, and here I am. Got about a year and a half, almost over a year and a half later. So
yeah, that's an awesome story. I really love that. And actually, like the entire concept of like the startup that you're working on actually sounds awesome, because like a lot of people do that with like a savings account. So that way I would just be like fascinated to see like how much the average person would like donate over the course of a year if they just applied that, you know.
Yeah, people end up rounding up like we're focused now on churches and specifically like religious communities, and people round up like $60 in a month. Like it's a lot more than you'd think, but you don't really feel it because it's kind of in the background of your life. So
yeah, it's essentially just change, right? It's just adding up change.
Just a little here and there. Yeah,
that's really cool, man. So can you tell us a little bit about like what your dad was like growing up?
Yeah, so I grew up in a military family. My dad enlisted in the U.S. Air Force at the age of 7. Well, he signed up at the age of 17 and shipped off. I think on his 18th birthday.
Oh, wow.
And so he did 23 years in, I believe it was 23 years in the military. So I grew up my entire life on military bases all across the world and stuff. And in that environment, born in Germany and lived in 3 foreign countries and 4 states since then. And the big thing with moving around so much is you have friendships that last, especially pre like social media and stuff. You have friendships that last 2 years and then you're on to the next place, then friendships that last another 2 years and on to the next place. And so the really the only constant in your life is your family. And so with that, my family was really close. I think most military families are. And my dad was kind of the bedrock of our family. My mom was a stay-at-home mom, she actually homeschooled us after starting when I was in third grade. So that was an interesting dynamic for me growing up. I ended up doing some time in public school, some time homeschooled. But my dad being, I would say he grew up with a good model of fatherhood with his dad and really exemplified with that with us as well, with core values of just integrity, leadership, and leading by example. He very often kind of went out of his way to do the right thing visibly for us to see and for him to kind of model himself. Like, he's the kind of guy who would see someone hitchhiking and just, all right, we're picking them up, like when we're on our way home. Like, he literally did that once. He was like, we're pulling over and picking this guy up. And then just was like, where do you need to go? And he just squeezes into our van with all of us kids in the back.
how far did you guys travel with him?
It was just like a 10 minute or 15 minute drive out of our way. It wasn't even that far.
Okay.
But
that's a cool story to tell though.
Yeah. And so he's just the kind of guy he's a little gruff, and you know, he's got that direct, like, military bluntness and, you know, expectations of respect and order and stuff. But he is also very compassionate, and like, now my family lives in Colombia and they're missionaries and serving people all the time and stuff. And he just has kind of a servant heart mixed with that gruffness. That's really interesting. The other dynamic of growing up in the military family is your dad deploys, you know, pretty frequently. Mm-hmm. My dad was gone he was in Serbia, well, Bosnia Herzegovina, when my sister was born. He was deployed to Afghanistan for my 16th birthday. He was deployed on an aid mission for my graduation and 18th birthday. So there's a lot of moments missed, which makes the bond kind of all that much more important, I think. Just know, like, it's that much more important for him to establish to myself and my siblings, like, hey, I know I've got to be gone sometimes, but I love you guys, and you guys are like the most important thing in the world. And he really did a good job of that for me. When he deployed when I was 18, he hand wrote me a letter before he on the ship that he was on, and sent that to me for my birthday and graduation. And when I read that, it was a long letter. And when I read that, it was just such a small thing, but so meaningful, and just brought me to tears and stuff. And I would say the biggest thing about my dad was that I always knew that he loved me a ton. You know, I was the biggest thing in the world to him, besides maybe my mom. Like, myself and my siblings were, you know, his life. And so I feel like that, that's a lot of kind of who my dad is and what I took from him and stuff. But,
yeah, that's a really beautiful story, man. I really appreciate hearing that, because, like, you don't always hear that. Even, like, I'll tell you this. So, like, as a kid growing up, like, I never had any type of relationship with my dad, never met him or anything. And you always assume that everybody has a great or perfect relationship if their dad is just in the picture. And, like, as I've gotten older, I realize that's not true. But when you hear people who had a great experience with their dad, it actually is really awesome to hear that. And so I guess, like, the next, like, logical question for me is, like, so you have a kid. And like, how did that change you? How did you feel becoming a father?
Yeah. you enter a new era of responsibility. It's not just kind of you and your, exactly. Like, I couldn't be the startup, you know, startup dude just eating ramen and stuff, even though, I mean, that kind of changes a little bit even when you get married, but it changed even more when I had a kiddo.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just like a whole shift in your mindset, really. Like, everything becomes so much simpler in a way. Like, mm-hmm. I'm very ambitious. I am a very hard worker and like kind of set high goals for myself and do the best I can to hit them. Like, growing up, straight A student, graduated college magna cum laude, like I am a high, kind of a high achiever, and have big dreams. So, I've always had like big dreams for myself. But when you become a parent, all of that becomes a lot less important. And you realize that like life is actually can be really simple. Like, we make it so complex and, you know, have these super like big plans for ourselves and stuff, which is great. Like, it's great to accomplish things, but also like there's something to be said about the satisfaction of just having a normal everyday life with your family and going to soccer games. Like, we aren't yet, obviously my kid's on, he's almost two, but I can't wait to just like, we go to soccer games on Saturdays. We work during weekdays, Sundays we do church stuff and other things, and like just have like a relatively normal life. Like, I feel like before having a kid, like it's like, oh no, I gotta do something important, like big, yada yada, but you realize that the normal little everyday things like can be important and are important themselves. And so I don't know, that's something that for me was a huge mind shift, a mindset change, just because I was like so ambitious and so high achieving, and now I still, you know, want to achieve big things and stuff, but it's not as core to who I am, I guess. What's core to who I am is my kid, my wife, our lives, and kind of well-being, and
that's a really interesting answer. And it's funny, I had a friend of mine who I met when I lived out of Chicago, and he was this guy like trained to be a Navy SEAL, and then he turned it down because he didn't actually want to do it. He just kind of wanted to know that he could do it. And he's like incredible athlete. He's like my height, like 5'7", maybe an inch shorter, maybe an inch taller. And he was like a D1 athlete, like playing basketball for NIU. And he's also like a black belt and like multiple different, you know, like martial arts. And I was just like I asked him what it was like for him to have a kid, and he told me, he's like, David, I ain't never been scared of nobody or anything. And the second I had a kid, I had so much fear in my heart that something could possibly happen to my kid. And he was like, it's the first time I ever felt fear, you know? And I was like, wow, like that's an incredible like shift in someone's like mindset, I guess. So I'm always interested to find out how people are impacted by fatherhood.
Yeah, that's interesting to hear too. Like, I will say, like, you know, when you see these headlines of different things that happen to kids too, that, you know, gun violence or other things, it hurts. Like, you know, it's upsetting in regular everyday life, but when you have a kid of your own, oh man, it just, like, anytime I see something like bad that happens in the world, especially in our country with some of our more preventable problems, be it poor healthcare or gun violence, my stomach just like sinks. I'm just like, that's someone's kid. Like, that's someone, there's a parent like me who that, you know, that happened to them. And I can't even imagine like if something like that ever happened to Henry. And it's, it does change how you see the dangers of the world and the issues in the world. Just like, they become that much more important, I think too.
Yeah.
Which is funny because I was always kind of a little bit of an activist and would speak up about gun violence and different stuff. There was actually a shooting at my college when I was in undergrad, so that's something that's really important to me. But I went to Seattle Pacific University, and in our case, luckily the shooter was stopped after a student security guard stopped him after one death. But that guy's a hero. But it still was it's really surreal when something like that happens, you know, and makes you, I'd grown up pretty conservative, and so it just made me have to reevaluate everything about gun laws and gun violence and everything in my life, or my views. All that to say, all those issues of the world become that much more real and more important when there's a kid of your own who's gonna have to, who's gonna experience that world.
Yeah, I hear that. Is there like a specific story that you like to tell about your dad? Like a very memorable, like it could have been childhood or high school or whatever, just a dad, a moment where you're like, yeah, this is my dad.
I would say, man, so the big thing for my dad, for me with my dad, was that he always tried to be involved in the things in my life that I, that mattered to me, that I did. So for me, a lot of that was sports growing up. And he would, when I my dad never played soccer growing up, ever, because he came from a small town, and at the time in the U.S., it was football and basketball in small towns. You know, that's all you did. Maybe baseball too, but yeah, soccer was the European sport back then, in like the 70s, maybe. And I when I was like seven, decided I wanted to do soccer. And my dad had always coached my basketball and t-ball teams and stuff when I was a little kid. And he was like, all right, I'm going to learn this soccer thing and figure it out. And the first year I was coached by, you know, I was just on a team. And then after that, he coached me all the way through, all of my teams, all the way through until I started middle school. And we would go to not Books a Million, but Barnes and Noble. Uh-huh. And he would go like read books on how to coach soccer and stuff. Like, he took it really seriously. He was going to learn this thing. And soccer ended up being my favorite sport and what I did, you know, all the way through senior year of high school. And he was really involved all along the way with that in Japan when I lived there. So when you're on a military base overseas, you play different military base high schools. So we were up at north in Misawa Air Base, Japan, and the nearest base from there is like a 12-hour bus ride. Mm-hmm. And so on Thursday nights for away games, we would leave on the bus on Thursday nights, get there Friday morning, have a Friday night game and a Saturday night game, and then usually leave Sunday morning to go back. And so he would come on a lot of those trips with me in when we lived there. He was kind of a unofficial assistant coach for the team.
Yeah.
And that was a super fun time, because, you know, some kids, their dad is like, oh no, dad, like, you can't go to this. This is the guys. But like, for me, it was always really fun, because my dad, he worked with youth throughout all my life. And so he was really familiar and relatable with them and stuff. And he was just like a fun guy for everyone. And so I always really enjoyed having my dad around, and really enjoyed having him be involved in this capacity with these things that mattered to me, and that, you know, he was very intentional about being involved in to some degree. And so that's something that I would say about my dad, is just an appreciation for him always wanting to be involved in different things with me, not just kind of let me, you know, okay, you go do your life, go enjoy your things, but hey, if you enjoy that, I'm going to pick it up too, so that I can do that with you.
That's awesome. Yeah. Does that mean one day you're going to be coaching your kids' team as well?
Oh man, I hope my kids play soccer. I will 100% coach. I told my wife,
you just got to learn how to do it. You got to go buy books.
I played volleyball. The only sport I didn't play after, when I was nine, I found out that I could play soccer not only in the fall, but in the spring too. So after that, baseball was done, and I was soccer spring, soccer summer, or soccer fall all the time. So Henry, yeah, he can do anything. Maybe not baseball, but basketball, soccer, volleyball would be great.
That's awesome, man. So here's something. I don't know. Like I said, I never met my dad. I don't know how these relationships go, but in the movies, you always see like a character will get like great advice from their dad. Is there any piece of advice you ever got from your dad that like sticks out and like that you apply on a normal basis?
Man, The thing is, it's hard to say like a little piece, because one, my dad is a lot more of a show by actions, not by words kind of guy. But then also, I mean, when I graduated high school, he gave us like, so me, myself and my brother, both of us, when we graduated high school, he gave us the speech, which was just like, hey, put others first, like always, show respect to everyone, whether they deserve it or not. And just kind of these basic principles to live by. Respect women, you know, never kind of degrade or try to take advantage or otherwise treat women poorly. And just kind of basic principles for our livelihoods. Do everything, anything that you do, do a good job at. You know, if you are doing it, you better do a bad job. Like, you better do the best you can. If you don't want to do it, don't do it. But if you're doing it, then you better do it well.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just kind of principles like that are kind of, I mean, they're so basic, but they're also so important. And I would say like the biggest thing is just like, you know, there's something to be said about self-worth and knowing your worth and valuing yourself and loving yourself. But there's also something to be said about placing, I feel like it's a little bit of an overlooked value of placing yourself kind of at the bottom of the totem pole in your perception of important, or not importance, but there's like an acronym used in some like Christian circles of joy, Jesus, others, and then you. And like when you kind of understand your place in the world as, you know, I am here to serve others and love others. And, you know, from that, I can grow and I can benefit too. And if everyone does this, then everyone's better off. And you kind of place others above yourself. You know, you life is just easier. Like, you don't get insulted as much if someone like does something that, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? If someone disrespects you or does something that you think you don't deserve, or, you know, these different things, it just doesn't matter as much, because you're like, look, I'm not some hotshot big guy, you know, I'm not the center of the universe. And so they don't need to, you know, it's nice if they treat me well, but they don't, there's nothing kind of that guarantees they will. And I would say that is one of, in that vein, is one of my dad's kind of harsher teachings, kind of related to his military stuff, is you don't deserve anything.
Yeah.
You deserve nothing in life. Mm-hmm. There is no reason why you deserve anything. You are lucky to have what you have, and you better dang appreciate it, because we're born into this world with nothing. We leave it with nothing. Anything we get along the way is a blessing and should be taken as such. Any little thing. And so that is something, you know, people can take that in different ways, but I really take it to say like, look, I'm grateful for every little thing, because I don't see myself as deserving like something more. It's when we think, it's when we place ourselves at something, you know, it's when we place expectations in the world or for ourselves that we get upset at those expectations not being met. So when we just take everything as a blessing in the first place, then wherever it goes, up or low, it's all a sense of appreciation for it, you know? And I've been like, I've been dirt poor, had bank accounts overdrawn because I literally had nothing left and stuff. And I've had situations where I was more comfortable in life. And I would say I was equally content in all of those situations, just because I kind of understood, you know, I'm just here along for the ride. I appreciate any level of provision that I have. And that kind of relates to my faith a bit too, just trusting God and trusting that he'll provide and stuff. But yeah, that is an important principle that my dad instilled in me. Yeah. That sometimes I find myself thinking a little harshly with people. Like, I have to remember, like, you know, if someone doesn't have that internalized in them, you can't just tell someone, look, you don't deserve dirt. Like, that's something you tell your kid, but not like someone else.
No, that's an awesome lesson to learn, though, because I think, like, really what your dad was instilling in you was like humility, right? The idea of like service and yeah, no, that's awesome, man. That's, I think, like a great piece of advice for other people to hear. But you're right, it's kind of hard to give that out to some people, you know, just because, like, you just never know how they're going to take it.
That's it. Like, it's sometimes people will not hear what you say, but what they think you're saying or perceive you to be saying. That's why that's a piece of advice I don't really give to someone, like in everyday life. I would say that to my kid. I would maybe say that to someone I'm close to, but definitely not somewhere I'd be like counseling someone to do something. I'd be like, look, you just need to appreciate that this wasn't worse, or like, you know, these different things.
I hear that. Oh man, that's an awesome story, man. It's awesome to hear people talk about their dads. I've been doing these interviews with a few different employees now, and it's like, it's interesting to see how, you know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's people's dads have an impact on their life, whether it's good, bad, but not, and it's never indifferent, right? So it's just interesting to see also how that kind of molds people, and how it's kind of brought everybody here and helped them, you know, at this organization. So, like, what does it mean to you to be working a Father's Uplift and like the work that you're doing?
Yeah, I really appreciate it because I know Father Absence in a different way, when I found out my dad was going to be deployed for my 18th birthday and graduation and last season of soccer, I was so upset. I went home from, I did half my courses at the school, at the high school, and then half my courses at home for some that I did differently than what was offered locally. And I remember I came home from my at school courses, and my mom was there, and she said, hey, we need to talk. And I was like, what about? And she's like, your dad got orders. He's going to be deploying on an aid mission in Central and South America for like 8 months. And I was like, well, when? And she told me when. And I immediately put two and two together and was like, so my whole last year of high school? And she was like, yeah. And man, I cried because those are like, like when you're in high school, that's it. Like that's the culmination of everything of your life is graduation, the last season of sports, whatever sport you played, you know, your 18th birthday. Like those three things are like the culmination of your life up until that point. And so for me, oh man, it was so devastating and I was so upset. And I just remember how much that hurt. And I was angry too, because I was like, I was thinking, like, in my mind, thinking out loud to the U.S. military, like, you've had my dad. You've had him in Serbia. You've had him in Afghanistan. You've had him in, like, all these places. He's fought so many wars for you guys and done so much and risked his life. And now you're going to take him on a stupid hospital ship to help some people out? Anyone could do that. My dad's 2 years away from retirement. Like, anyone could do this little stupid mission. It's not even a combat thing. Like, that's kind of what my mind was at the time, you know? Obviously, it's important. Humanitarian aid is great. But in my mind, I'm like, this is the most ridiculous thing. Why do they need my dad for this here? And I was so upset with that. And that was just, you know, temporary absence of him in my life, and a known start and end date and everything. So I can't imagine, like, if I, you know, ended up without my dad for a longer period of time or undefined period of time due to incarceration or death or just, you know, him up and leaving or divorce or anything like that. It's something that I have had a peak. Fatherlessness is something that I've had a peak of just because of the times my dad was deployed in wars and stuff. And it's something that's been a present reality the possibility of it was always a present reality when I was a kid, because, you know, when your dad goes off to fight in the war, they might not come back. But it's something I never had to experience in full. And so I know the ties of having an engaged and loving father, and I know, like, a peak of what it can be having him gone. And because of that, I think I really resonate with Father's Uplift, and that I want every kid to have those highs that I had, and no kid to have even a moment of the lows of father absence, because I know, you know, I know both what is being missed, and I know what's experienced to a degree, not even the full thing, but to a degree, without dad there. So
yeah. Well, Chris, that's amazing, man. And like, I really appreciate you kind of sharing that. And I'll tell you, like, you know, it's you obviously work behind the scenes here, so a lot of our clients don't get to see you, so they don't realize how much they want to thank you, you know. And one thing that Charles is always saying in our meetings is like, you know, Chris is killing it. Chris is a beast. Chris is doing it, you know. So like, we all know how much work you're doing here, and so on behalf of all of the fathers here, you know, that we serve, I know that they're very thankful for the work that you do, and you're doing great work, and you know, it's helping our communities here in Boston and around the country and around the world. So like, yeah, you know, you're doing incredible work. So I guess the last thing I want to ask you before we get off here is there anything, any like last words you'd like to share with all the fathers that we work with?
Oh man, don't underestimate your importance, I would say. Like, you are so important to your kid and to their future, and to just their sense of the world. And don't underestimate that. Don't think that they don't need you or don't want you or anything. Even if they think they don't want you right now, they do. They do. I would say that. And that's the big thing, is just like I said, like once I have my kid, I can't understand that everything else is only so important, compared to my kiddos, my family. That's kind of what I would say then, is like, look, like there's everything else in your life, you know, matters, but this kid, like, or these kids, you've got this one shot with them, and like, and they're going to be there when you're gone, and they're going to carry on your legacy, whether it's good or bad. And what matters most in the world is them, and giving them, you know, a good future through your involvement and your leadership and service and example to them. So,
that's awesome, man.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thank you so much for sharing. Thank you so much for checking in, man. Obviously, on behalf of everybody here in Boston and all the dads that we serve, man, happy Father's Day to you, too.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks for sharing, man. I know everybody's going to love this episode.
Yeah. Hopefully. I appreciate it, man. Yeah. It's been fun to be involved.
All right. Thanks, Chris.